expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Generation to generation.
This is a best of.
Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are here every Wednesday morning, live at 9 a.m., embracing aging, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. You can join us in the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567 with any questions or comments. My topic today is what every daughter of an aging parent should know, which is a very broad topic, and it'll probably take us to a couple different places. And my guest in studio is an amazing gal who works for me in my office as my client services manager for 2 years, Desi Baxter. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Desi and I are going to chat about, both of us have been through some aging situations with our loved ones, on hospice all the way till end of life care. And also Desi being in this industry for a couple years with me in the office has definitely seen her share of what families have done right and pitfalls that they can avoid. I want to talk a little bit about why, if you're the daughter of your aging parent, why should you care about this show? Well, informal caregivers who are women, these are unpaid caregivers, are 59 to 79% of the caregivers that are unpaid informal caregivers are women. The dollar value on that caregiving provided by women annually is $188 billion. Women provide the majority of informal care to spouses, parents, in-laws, friends, and neighbors. The average caregiver, this surprised me, is 46, female, married, and working outside the home, earning an annual income of $35,000. Conflicts with work and caregiving account for 33% of women decreasing their hours of work, 29% passing on a job promotion, training, or assignment, 22% taking a leave of absence, 20% switching from full-time to part-time, 16% of these women quit their jobs entirely, 13% retired early, and 25% have health problems as a result of caregiving. So it's very, very important, not only for the benefit of our aging loved ones, that we women understand what resources are out there and make ourselves informed upon what our loved ones will be facing. But for ourselves alone, the impact of this on our physical health, our financial ability to support our families, et cetera, it increases rapidly with these responsibilities. So it's really important that we are all aware of what's going on. So Desi, let's chat a little bit about, kind of what brought you to Home Helpers and a little bit of your background.
Okay, well, I've actually been in Reading for 4 years now. I moved here from the coast. I needed some warmer weather. So we've been here, and my background is actually in blood banking. I've done that for 16, 17 years. And I just really needed to give back to my community, and this opportunity came, and I decided to venture into it because I wanted to help people. And I had just come out of losing my dad and being on the side of people who needed the help. So it was a good transition for me at that time.
What has been, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I didn't give her any list of questions or anything. What's been like the most surprising aspect of your job in 2 years? Like as far as like on the family side, like what is like surprised you the most about what we do in there in our office? Or what you're faced with or whatever.
Right, right. I think it's just how many people are in crisis mode. And it's sad because we just don't talk about aging parents and losing parents and what that means in society. It's like taboo. Hey, let's go have drinks with the girls and then talk about your mom's having issues doing this or getting her to the bathroom or different things. So just when people call and they're in such crisis mode and they don't know what to ask. You don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And being on the end where I have been through those situations, I have some answers and at least can listen to them now.
Yeah, because it's a lot of times I feel like we're almost social workers.
Absolutely.
To a point, because they're calling in and we're saying, hey, what's going on with your mom or dad? And they just spill it.
Absolutely.
Because, again, you're totally right in that it is, people do feel isolated with a lot of times aging parents and the challenges associated with that. We're not going around the water cooler at the office going, hey, you know, my mom's overdoing it because my dad has dementia, mm-hmm. and I see her taking on too much, and now she's getting run down, and I'm worried for my family. I think you're right. It's not something that people are comfortable sharing yet.
No. Mm-hmm. And the generation that we typically see as clients, they're very prideful. They've done everything their entire life with hard work, and they've managed to do it on their own, and they get it done. So asking for help is really hard, and accepting the help, even when their children are trying to do it. So coming up with creative ways to get in the door, because we can help you a little bit and be in there, is been a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. That is definitely something that I think oftentimes we are trying to help these the daughters generally. It is a female that generally calls, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Whether it's the daughter-in-law, the granddaughter, the niece. But yeah, they're like trying to get us in the door. I'm like, just get me an appointment. Just get me in the door, and we'll try to talk about it. Because yeah, they don't. You know, oh, yes, I'm eating, and of course they're not eating. Or
right.
Yes, I take my pills perfectly, and they're not. And
right.
These are some of the things that, you know, we'll cover in the show today, some tips on some of this. But what do you think most of the time, what is prompting the call? Like, is it like a hospital stay? Is it like someone has fallen, or now we're like in crisis mode? What percent of calls are crisis mode, and what percent are, hey, I'm seeing a decline, I'm researching options?
I would say a lot of it is mom broker hip or dad or whatever they're coming out of one of our facilities of rehab, and they're now, what do I do now? They need 24-hour care, and I still work, and I still have kids, and I don't know what to do, and how do I get through this?
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what to ask, really. Like, they just know that we're home helpers, and we're right. going to help them. So they don't really even know. And I would say the other part is maybe they have just come and visited their parents or loved ones, and go, oh my goodness, the house isn't clean like it used to be. There's no food in the refrigerator. I noticed she wasn't taking her pills. And so now they're like, they're not sure if it's crisis mode yet, but they see it something coming,
mm-hmm.
and they don't even know what it is that they need. They just know that it's not right. And
something's
they might
not working, right.
And they might not live here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's the case. They might live in another state, in another city, and they don't know how to help their parent or loved one from that distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that just to have an eye check on them once a day to make sure they're okay. A phone call does a little bit, but to see them face to face really is what they're needing.
Right. And I do think I've had family say, gosh, I talk to her all the time and she sounds great on the phone. And, you know, and again, this generation, like you said, they're very prideful. They're very private.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not going to really share that stuff. They don't want to burden their children with that. So they're not going to say anything.
Right.
And then the kids show up and yeah, I think that's one of the things I really want to, you know, make sure we get across to the listeners today is, you know, researching your community options and understanding the resources in the town where your parents are before something happens is really, I mean, key.
Right.
Key.
Right.
Because, and even if they're doing great, if you start the dialogue with mom and dad, wherever they are, or grandparents or whatever, of, hey, I was listening to this radio show. I'm so remote from you. I don't want, you may never need to know these services, mom and dad, but let's figure out
right.
what you would want to do. Would you want to have home care come in? Would you want to move to assisted living? Tour the rehab facilities. Which one would you want to go to? In one of my shows recently, last week, we talked all about falls and how many, what per 60, you know, I think it's two and three people over 65 fall every year.
Right.
So odds are you're going to probably spend some time in rehab in your aging life. Find the rehab center that works best for you, that's closest to you, that you feel like you're comfortable in, and all of that stuff, because we get the call,
mm-hmm.
and they're like not only dealing with the incident of the fall
right.
or the illness, but where's the money? What rehab should we go to? How do we get qualified for rehab? How long can they stay? What share of costs might they have?
Right.
And this whole, it's just overwhelming for them.
And even the term rehab, until I started working for home helpers, I didn't really even realize what that meant. So even the terminology,
it's not drug and alcohol
it's
rehab.
Not drug and,
yeah.
And I did come from having a dad who was sick with cancer, but we went straight to hospice, and that's a whole different realm.
Mm-hmm.
And then rehab, I had to research that because those words don't mean anything to
right.
me. They mean something different.
Mm-hmm.
So just learning the terminology and realizing that what help is out there is key.
Yeah, rehab / skilled nursing, basically.
Right.
Yeah. So
I think I heard, is it like when you're 40 or your parents 70, you should have these conversations?
Correct. Yes.
I was only 36 when I lost my dad. So have
yeah.
those conversations earlier.
Right, right.
Because you want them to be part of it. You want them to have a say, and it's really helpful if you're not trying to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. And we're going to take a short break and come back with more with Desi Baxter on what every daughter of an aging parent should know. Stay tuned right here on KCNR 1460.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
There's a saying old said that...
This is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast, Generations.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Thanks for joining me here today. If you want to jump in the chat room at kcnr1460.com with questions or comments, feel free to do so. Or you can give us a call at 605-4567. My topic today is what every daughter of an aging parent should know, which this is a show that I'll probably be doing every quarter because there's so much to know. And us women tend to be the primary contact when our parents start getting older. We're the nurturers in the family. Not to say that I haven't had some amazing sons take the lead, but generally speaking, it is women who are the ones overseeing the care and communication within the family when there is an aging loved one and medical issues happening. And my guest in studio is Desi Baxter, who works in my office as client services manager. And she has some insight from some personal experiences that she's been through, as well as 2 years in the, deep in the deep end of the pool in home helpers in the office, hearing the phone calls come in. So one of the things we talked about a little bit in the last segment, Desi, was, you know, those kids coming into town and, mm-hmm. Being aware and double checking in the home, what are some of the things that you've seen or that they're telling you that signifies their call to us? Like, what are they kind of seeing when they come for a visit?
They'll see that the house isn't as clean as it used to be. Like, dust is piled up. the lack of food in the refrigerator and really no explanation to why, which could mean they don't drive like they want to or they're not hungry, as well as safety hazards. Like they'll notice chairs in the bathroom. Oh, well, that chair is just there. I get a little dizzy when I take a shower. Well, that's a red flag.
Right, yeah.
Let's not have chairs in the bathroom.
Yeah. Have you had that call?
Yes. Yeah. So you just want to look for those little signs and kind of go through those things in your head and then ask the questions. And you probably won't get the answers that you want to hear, or you'll find that they might be fibbing to you a little bit.
Yeah, I think that, you know, especially like on the medication side, understanding the medications that your parents are on, mm-hmm. having them explain to you what the medications are and what the instructions are, and then you double checking on the bottle. Right. I think the last statistic I read was 65% of hospitalizations every year of seniors are due to medication noncompliance, and we've run into that
absolutely
many times with people overtaking, undertaking, skipping. Some meds need to be 12 hours apart, and they're not taking them properly. And again, all of this, you know, not taking medication properly over time, you know, that could lead to more falls, that could lead to dizzy spells, that can lead to things. So really understanding, we have a lot of, you know, the adult kids who we're talking to them about their meds, and mom's missing a medication or something, and they have no clue what we're talking about.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or even food, like what food you take with certain medications. They'll go and look at their pill containers, and they'll be Saturday gone, and it's only Tuesday. So making sure that medication is taken properly. But a lot of times they don't know what the doctor just gave that to me last week. I'm not sure what that's for. So we need to do our due diligence as their loved ones to figure that out and keep a list, even if that's all we can do for them, just so that their medication is not messed up.
Right. And I mean, we've caught a couple times with the kids coming in that two different doctors have prescribed things,
right.
And that usually gets caught in the pharmacy, but not always. Just have something just recently?
We did, and it was there. It was they used one pharmacy, and they said the other pharmacy this time. So the pharmacy wasn't going to catch it because they used two different pharmacies because mom forgot which pharmacy she used.
Mm-hmm. Was this a blood pressure pill?
It was,
They were doubling up on a blood pressure pill, which can be, of course, very, very,
very
impactful.
Yeah.
So that, and then when you're doing that research with your parents, like, oh, just let me know what meds are you on now? What are you being treated for? Cause they'll be like, oh, I don't have high blood pressure. I take a pill for that. Well, no, you actually do have high blood pressure, mom. You take a pill to bring it down. You do have diabetes. You take a pill to manage that.
Right.
But yeah, having that list, having the milligrams listed, having that on the fridge so that if their first responders do come, it's clear what people are on. And if your parents can't explain it to you or there's confusion there, this is the opportunity. It doesn't even mean a call to us at that point. But it could be that you just buy them a 7-day-a-week pill box. You fill it with them once a week, and then you kind of double check it when you're coming, if you're local, or maybe you have a neighbor or a family member that can just check in on that to be sure that that's helping. Yeah.
And go to the doctor's appointments with your loved one. And if you can't go, I couldn't go. My dad lived in Eureka. I couldn't make it to all the doctor's appointments. I got on FaceTime. My dad did not enjoy that technology, but I was able to hear what was being said, find out what medications were being used, and keep track because sometimes they don't understand, and there's a lot being thrown at you. So having an extra pair of ears never hurts, and then you're hearing it firsthand.
I agree, and also the thing that we've seen with our clients is they rally at the doctor.
Right.
So they don't want to say they're not sleeping. They don't want to say they've lost their appetite. They don't want to say that they're feeling any depression or anything. They go in there dressed to the nines and tell the doctor how amazing they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great to have, you know, a family member to say, well, actually, mom, weren't you telling me that you haven't been sleeping very well or that you're just not feeling right since dad passed away? And maybe there's some depression happening, or mom, actually, you know, your appetite, I have noticed your appetite, you know, and because they don't want to, again, this private generation, they don't want to share that, but the doctors can only do what they're told and treat what they're told. So, and there's sometimes I'm like, please don't show off in the doctor's office.
Right.
It's not the time to do it. We want to get the help for you. But you're right. And I think, you know, the getting that information repeated back, especially if you're dealing with treatment plans, like with your dad, with, with cancer, when people are going in for a checkup and things like that, it's one thing, but when they're discussing treatment options for an illness or a disease, to understand chemo versus radiation, what are we, fighting for longevity? Are we fighting for a cure? What are we doing? What are the impacts going to be? What are the side effects going to be? This is really hard for someone to really absorb alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I would say, like, trying to have that conversation, especially with your own parents, of honesty. My parents wanted to shield us. And I'm an adult and I have kids, so I did not need to be shielded. And being able to be in those doctor's appointments, they couldn't shield me from it. And I could hear what I needed to hear. And we try to protect our kids. Whether they're 40 or they're 4, we try to protect our kids. But having everybody on the same page and know what's going on is key. So don't fib to your children. Let them in, because we can help and we can rally together. And those are the families that work the best that we deal with at Home Helpers. Is they come together, they have a plan, they're working together, and they're all on the same page and just looking for the best care for their loved ones.
Right. And when you have those family members in the dark, mm-hmm. who aren't on board, that can be divisive to the care we're providing.
Right.
Because they're kind of in denial because they haven't had things shared with them.
Yeah.
And they don't really realize why we're there. They're questioning what's happening and they can't really get on board with it.
Right.
Because they're not out in the open.
Right. And they don't realize it. And even if, like, my brother was amazing, he would show up, but he would be like, I'm good, I'm out, and he'd go mow the grass. But he knew what was going on.
Well, we have a joke in the office. You know, men buy it, fix it, or install it. I mean, if men need a list, they're happy to go to the pharmacy, they're happy to fill the pillbox, they're happy to fix the leaky pipe. When it comes to, like, hygiene issues, is mom bathing, you know, urinary tract infections, you know, that's not a comfort level for a lot of men. Now, again, there's amazing men that we've worked with that step right up into that role, but generally speaking, they struggle a little bit more with some of that stuff, and we're there to walk them through it. We're there to help them out, you know.
Well, I would say that I learned from my own experience with my dad is how important your own circle is. Like, I relied heavily on my husband for my emotional support, and when I didn't do that, he would remind me that he's going through something too. But putting people around you, letting them know what you're going through, don't try to hide it. Reach out for support, because we, as women especially, we're very strong and we don't like to let people know that we're struggling with anything. So get a support system so that you can be the best you and still help your loved ones.
Right, because you were actually what they call kind of the sandwich generation, where your parents, your dad's having these medical issues, aging, and you still had minor children.
Yep.
So you're kind of caught in between, you know, getting over there and being there for him versus your responsibilities to your children.
Right.
Which is, we're seeing more and more as people, you know, our parents had us younger and we're having our kids later.
Right.
So there's, that gap is getting smaller.
Right.
So it's a tough. And your kids got to see you go through this. And I do, and I do want to talk in our next segment about, I had my grandmother in my home on hospice. Mm-hmm. You had your dad on hospice.
Mm-hmm.
How that impacted our children. Because I think it's really, really important to talk about that, because I think we were raised a lot of, oh, mom gets old, we put her in a home.
Right.
That's what I saw. I still hear people use that terminology.
Right.
I think it might be time for her to go into a home. And I think that we, don't validate enough what we're doing with our parents, how that impacts what our kids are going to do.
Right.
Because these adults that are saying the word home to us saw that happen.
Right, right.
So that's naturally what they think they're going to do.
Yep.
They're going to put them in a home, and maybe it's time for them to go into a home, which isn't even the term anymore, and we're going to talk about what a home means.
Yes.
But I do feel like the impact of being that example to our children and to our friends, even like you said, having that social circle and tapping into that. And, you know, my friends joke everyone needs a Sharon Clark in their circle, because we're all facing this and needing that support, like you said, from our girlfriends, from our husbands, and and all of that. Are we ready to take a break, Bob? All right. We're going to talk more about this wonderful topic, what every daughter of an aging parent should know, right after this. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio.
Just a kiss, a sigh, just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system. leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SST Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, 530-241-1167.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Generations Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. My topic today is what every daughter of an aging parent should know, and my guest in studio is Desi Baxter, the client services manager of Home Helpers. So we actually work together every day.
Yeah.
Aren't you about to celebrate 2 years?
I just celebrated.
You celebrated 2 years.
Yep.
And so I was like, I needed a guest for today, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to make Desi do it. I'm like, what are you doing in the morning? Because I know you're working, and I can get you out of the office and here. And one of the things that really appealed to me when Desi and I, when I was interviewing her for this position, was that she had been through a situation with her father, with cancer and all the way up to the end of life in hospice care. And that's nothing I want someone to have to go through, but it definitely allows her some insight when families are calling and they're nervous and confused and frightened and frustrated and at their wit's end, that, you know, she understands, you know, all of those fears and relates to that. So your dad and your dad's situation, things kind of happened pretty quickly.
Right.
From diagnosis to hospice. What was the timeline on that?
10 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was, and you, in the beginning of that, you weren't really brought in the loop on how bad things were.
No, yeah. I was definitely kept at an arm's length and back to me because I have three kids. I lived in another city, and they were just trying to kind of protect me and tell there needed to be a time to worry about it.
And what I don't think our families realize when they do that is you need time to grieve this and to process this. And when you're not really forthcoming, people can't really absorb it.
Right.
Luckily, you were able to get in on some of those doctor visits and understand it.
Right.
But when families are not brought in on that, your reaction, you may not have gone to visit as much. You may not have prioritized it as much, the drive over. if you don't have all the facts.
Right. Right.
To support your mom, to be able to offer help for her.
Right.
So now, how old were your kids when all this was going on?
So Alex, who is my oldest, was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
then
14
I have
and younger.
14, 12, and 9.
So pretty young.
Yeah.
And they went over with you a couple times.
They did.
How did they do with that whole situation?
My kids were very close to my parents. We lived a block away from them. So it was... I never kept anything from them. So that was my big thing, is they knew everything that was happening the entire time, and grandpa's losing his hair and this is what's happening. And I never shielded him from anything, and open dialogue, but it was really hard on them.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard on them. But being able to talk about it and, look up stuff on the internet with them. And so that if they had questions, they could ask. And my dad was amazing and said the same thing. Ask me, you want to see something? Ask me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was really hard. And even, you know, at the end, having to explain to them really what was happening, and that grandpa won't be here much longer, mm-hmm. and that we need to treasure these moments. It's just difficult, but I'm glad we did it, because I never had those conversations about my grandparents, and I never had those conversations. It just, one day grandpa's no longer here, and mm-hmm. that's that.
Right.
So my kids got to say goodbye. They got to have those moments. They got to take grandpa's first selfie with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those little things that really helped.
And when you talk about that experience to them now,
mm-hmm.
is it fond memories?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because they didn't really go over with you at the very, very end.
No. My dad entered hospice on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
My son's very first high school football game was Friday night over in Eureka. What are the odds of that? That mm-hmm. Enterprise was playing Eureka High. And my dad made it to that game. They had
wow.
a beautiful night with him. The next day, we had a great day with them. They left. And my dad died the next day.
Wow.
So it was very peaceful. I couldn't have asked for a better experience.
Mm-hmm.
As sad as it is to lose your dad, it was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he got to see my kids one last time, my husband, our dog. I mean, all those little things
right.
happened, and they got to say goodbye. I was there. I sent them home. I didn't realize he was going to die the next day, but it was beautiful. And they were glad that they had that moment.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have our children see that example we set. And not everyone has the opportunity to do a hospice situation.
Mm-hmm.
I had my grandmother in my home on hospice. My daughter was about to go to college. And she left, you know, a few weeks before Graham passed away. And so she had good memories, but I'm glad she wasn't there at the very, very
right.
end. You know, I have all these amazing memories of my grandmother. My daughter doesn't have as many to
mm-hmm.
go back to. So I was glad that she saw her. When she was doing well still.
Right, right.
And I do think, and even, you know, I've had other, you know, families ask me, and I think it depends on the kids, but I do think, you know, when someone's on morphine and not able to speak anymore,
right.
and that's tough on kids.
Yeah.
So to have.
It's tough on us.
Yeah, it's tough on us, but we signed up for it.
Right.
We're going to do
right.
it. But, you know, depending on the child, I didn't want her to have that. But, you know, I did ask her, I said, you know, Graham's going to die in our house.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm okay with that. I'd rather have her be here with us than in a hospital. And so, because we're still in that same home.
Yep.
And even my uncles asked me, are you okay with her passing
mm-hmm.
away here? And it wasn't something I ever even thought about having an issue with. And the room she was in when she passed away on Labor Day weekend. I remember hospice came and took her. All the equipment wasn't going to be picked up till that following Tuesday, because the holiday being Monday. I didn't go in that room. And on that Tuesday morning, I went in there and I opened the door, and it was just peace.
Yep.
Like, there was nothing strange, nothing weird, no weird energy. It was just like, and I've never felt anything
right.
but amazing about that experience.
Right.
So for me and for Jessica, too. Yeah.
Same. It was hard when my mom sold the house, because I'm like, I'll never have this room again. So it was hard.
And I think we see a difference when we have clients that and families that we work with, the peace and the feelings of someone passing away on hospice at home, those families looking back on their loved one's life have a completely different take on it than the people that lose them in the hospital setting.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like night and day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I lost my grandfather a few years before my dad passed away, and it was in the hospital, very traumatic. I was traumatized, and I was adult,
mm-hmm.
and I was traumatized, and that was my biggest fear, And that's kind of what I kept waiting for with my dad, is like this trauma part to come. And it didn't come because mm-hmm. I had this amazing agency that was in there helping us. We had caregivers that were in there helping us, and I didn't have to have that. And mm-hmm. it made it so much easier for me and my brother and my mom. We could just lean on each other and not have to worry about all that other stuff.
Yeah, in the hospital setting, nothing against our amazing hospitals, but when someone's at the end of their life in this sterile space, it's not comfortable. It's usually really cold.
Mm-hmm.
You're out of your element. It's not a private time.
Right.
It's a completely different experience. And
absolutely.
I know one of the things that the hospice agencies say a lot is they wish they got the call sooner.
Right.
Because we tend to wait too long, and then we get someone home on hospice. And they go so quickly. Mm-hmm. And if there is a terminal situation, to get them home on hospice sooner, to have that support, to enter into that time and really have your loved ones around you and look through your photo albums and have, mm-hmm. and I had Graham for 3.5 weeks. So it was great. We had a lot of amazing time together. Her last meal was, dipping her Oreo cookies in milk.
Yeah.
And I videoed it, and it was so adorable. And so, you know, I have these amazing memories of her. And she wanted to be there with us.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, and we were talking about before the break about this, you know, put mom in a home thing. And I think, you know, one of the shows I did years ago with my daughter, she was about 12. And I said, you've been around me since you were 6 with this agency when I opened it in 2004. I said, what have you seen? What is your take on it? On what you've seen so far? She says, we're watching what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It was the wisest thing. She's right on the air. She goes, we watch what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And in how we take care of our loved ones, the value we place on their life and the quality of life, our kids are watching.
Yep.
And so we know some of our clients, I've had people say, well, we'll probably put him in a home. That's what he did with his mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, a home, we've got a beautiful assisted living here in Reading. Amazing.
Absolutely.
And then you've got your skilled nursing, which is also the rehab facilities after, you know, falls and hip fractures and things. But there's also a side of those that is for long-term care, but it's skilled. And, you know, that's, you know, upwards of $10,000 mm-hmm. a month. Or you go on Medi-Cal, and there's so many Medi-Cal beds the state will pay for. But other than that, there's no home to put anybody in.
Right, right.
You know, you're talking assisted living, and that we need to change that phrasing.
We do.
It's more of a community that, you know, you've got your hairstylist, you've got transportation to events. I mean, we've got some amazing assisted livings. And so the word home.
Right.
It sounds, I wouldn't want to go.
No, no. And that, you know, the movies portray it in a very poor light. But
right.
They are beautiful. They have amazing. We go there for lunch sometimes.
Yeah, we've been to a couple events at these places, and it's like, I mean.
They have bars.
Yeah, well,
they're
we have Oakmont,
nice.
Who, you know, I had Lorene, the administrator from Oakmont, on a few weeks ago, and it's like, yeah, they have, like, cocktail hour.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm like, how old do you have to be to come live
right.
here?
And you can still have your car there. There's so many different levels now.
Right.
Which I think is great, because for my dad, if he'd ever gone there, he'd want his car, he'd want his shop, he'd want his garage.
Right.
So they don't have to lose their identity
right.
anymore.
Right. And this is a great conversation to have, and you probably have had it with your mom now.
Absolutely.
Like, what do you see? What do you want? You know, mom and dad, do you want to stay in your home?
Mm-hmm.
If you do, let's look into home care agencies and get some resources. You know, we oftentimes have people, many times, you know, I go out and they just get signed up in
right.
the computer. There's no billing. I go out for the free consultation. They just want to have us ready to go
yep.
when they need us. And they may never need us, but they've taken care of that step.
Yep.
But you may have parents that are willing to move where you live or are willing to do an in-law quarters and to have those conversations mm-hmm. so that when that time comes, you can be like, mom, we talked about this, you know. Dad's not doing well. This home is in weed. You can't shovel the snow anymore.
Right.
I think it might be time for you to move by me.
Right.
And your mom made that decision, which is
yep.
great.
Yep. She's here. And now I can help her. And she does have health issues. So I feel better. And she did that for her grandkids because it was hard for me to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at the big picture.
Yeah. And I think we've seen this so many times. We have a client who... I mean, they're widowed, they're older, they're not really social anymore. Their kids are schlepping from wherever to come every time there's a medical issue,
mm-hmm.
and they just won't move because this is where their doctors are. And it really does is a disadvantage for everybody.
Right.
So it's like if you can be, I understand staying in your home, but there's just a time that's tough to do. And
right.
and if you have no support system anymore
right.
In Reading, that gets really tough on the kids.
I say to my husband all the time, I'm like, we need to remember this stuff when we get older.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to put our kids through it.
Yeah.
Like, we need to make sure that we remember that. And that's the hardest part, because we want our kids to have lives and we know how busy they are.
Yeah. And we're going to take a short break and be right back with our final segment here on KCNR 1460.
Someone like you cures everything gloomy, turns wrong into right, brightens a night, brings happiness to me.
I never cared.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Everyday Fitness would like to thank the first responders of Shasta and Tehama County for putting their lives on the line every day for our great community. Because of your service, you allow all of us to live a better quality of life. Thank you again from Everyday Fitness.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show, where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
This is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Generations Talk Radio.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're wrapping things up on the topic of what every daughter of an aging parent should know. We've covered a lot of ground, mostly from kind of our experiences with working in the home helper's office and also with our own families. My guest in studio has been Desi Baxter, our client services manager. If and when you call my office anytime, she's probably the one you're going to speak to on the phone, going over our services and connecting with you and chatting with you about what exactly is going on with your parents. One of the things that I think a lot of people, when they call in Desi, they don't know what's covered Medicare-wise.
Right.
They say they think insurance might cover what we do.
Right, right.
And
we are private pay. Medicare covers a lot of health stuff. So they're going to cover home health if you have to have a nurse come out to your house. Or physical therapy, things like that. But our services are private pay.
Yep. And a lot of agencies like ours. And so when you're looking at having home care come in, and also long-term care insurance, if you have long-term care, but really accounting for the financial resources that you're going to need to have home care come in if you hire agency care.
Right.
Understanding what that costs and to plan for that, and also to know, you know, exactly what Medicare pays for.
Right.
Our Medicare does not pay for anything long-term. It's all rehab, medical stuff, and you know, our medical visits and all of that.
Right, and making progress.
Right,
they're going to pay for the making progress.
Right,
stuff.
You've got to be focused on that.
You have to, and then just knowing that's a conversation to have now on what their plans are to help pay for that, and
what resources do they have?
What resources do they have? There's lots of options out there.
And we have Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning. I was hoping to share with your listeners about the real estate issue when people prefer and want to have their loved ones stay at home in hospice or whatnot. Apparently in real estate it has not changed. If there has been someone who's passed away in a home, like a residence, they only need a death certificate if it's been within the last 3 years. It is not like some ongoing thing that follows.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because there is the time when you sell a home, you have to disclose that, yes?
Yes, and I think a lot of adult children are very concerned, and they're like, no, put them here, there, and everywhere but the house. If they could just, you know, catch up on that. Now, if there's something more nefarious, like a murder or some other awful situation, there might be police reports, and, you know, I claim to be no expert on anything than a natural passing away, but just wanted to share that because that was a huge topic. That it's a delicate issue, and I think people just need to know, calm down. More and more people want to be with their family and pass away at home.
Awesome. Thanks for thanks for sharing that, Lori.
Thanks, Sharon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good point, and I haven't heard that, but I could see people thinking.
My mom, my dad's only been gone about 2.5 years, and my mom sold the house a year ago, and it's a question she had to check off. And then she wrote a little statement and about how beautiful it was, and it was where he wanted to be. And she had like 18 offers on her house in 24 hours.
Yeah, so it didn't
impact that at all. But she did have the opportunity to write, you know, what had happened, and she did have to disclose it. But it really wasn't a very
And I think in general, people, if it's explained like that, if this was, like Lori said, not like a tragic event, but this was a planned, comfortable exit from us, and they were safe and comfortable. That's a good point. So understanding what Medicare covers is definitely a good one, and what financial resources. Also the estate planning. How was your dad with his estate planning and all of that? Was that all? Were they up to date on that?
It was a little bit. You know, I don't think he even up until a few weeks before he passed, he was still fighting. So fortunately, you know, my mom was still alive, so I didn't have to. But I know a lot of people where, you know, the parents might be divorced, and that's really, really hard to come in, and now you have to figure it all out, and they're gone, and how do you get from here to there, and power of attorneys, and power of attorney for medical, power of attorney for money. There's just a lot of things to ask, and you don't know until you're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
You really, really don't.
And it's really a good conversation to start now, because with those powers of attorney, if someone's cognition is impacted with a dementia or Alzheimer's diagnosis, even Parkinson's can be neurologically compromising to people, then attorneys aren't going to sign that paperwork.
Right.
You can't get things notarized and signed and written up because that person's not of sound mind.
Right.
So it's really important to ensure and if for you listening that are even our age, is that you have your affairs in order, the proper people in place for your powers of attorney. And I recommend people get those looked at annually. Review it with your attorney so that you're clear on who's in charge of what. Make sure that the people you put in play still make sense. For instance, the son that you put in charge of your power of attorney for medical decision-making, he himself may have had a cancer diagnosis this year, and maybe he's going through treatment, and maybe he's not the best person for that role at this time. Or maybe he's in the middle of a divorce and going through his own things. And so these aren't things we think about, oh, gosh, our son's going through this medical emergency, let's take him off of our estate plan.
Mm-hmm.
But once your attorney sits down and goes, okay, so we have David doing this, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, that may not be the right thing for him right now. And so, and then make sure also that you communicate to all of the children who's in charge of what and why, because that comes back on us too sometimes. That poor child that got, you know, put in power of attorney for something and wasn't told.
Right.
And there's resentment from the other kids toward them, and to really make sure that you communicate And what do we think about putting, sometimes I think putting the most fiscally responsible kid in charge of the finances isn't always a good thing either.
I agree. Because then they take that on as, I need to save all mom's money, or I need to make sure that this is all perfect. And so they don't look at the big picture because they feel like they're responsible to make sure that there's lots and lots of money and that it's protected.
Mm-hmm.
When really they don't look at the big picture of what's best for her in terms of where she is, what care she gets in her home, different things like that. So
yeah, we see that a lot of the, again, that child, it makes sense. You think, oh my gosh, my accountant son or my banker son or daughter or whatever. But when it comes to like, okay, yes, staying at home might be cost a little bit more, but mom has dementia. So when we move her, that's going to set her way back.
Right.
Are the funds available to really keep her here or bring in more care or whatever that is? They're looking at the bottom line only.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they're like, oh, my son, you know, can come in and do it. We'll save money that way. Grandsons are great, but they're not going to help you
bathe
grandma.
Yeah, because they do try to sometimes throw some kids in there that don't have the skill set.
Because they're trying to save money because they're fiscally responsible.
Yeah, so it doesn't always. So I think like having that balance of when you're picking these people to go, I want home care. And you can actually, I believe, put it in your state plan that you want, you know, to stay at home as long as possible and that whatever care can be brought in. And it's important too, when you're looking at all of these things too, to have the, you know, I wouldn't have put my daughter in a position of having to care for her grandmother and do that role. And I didn't even put myself in that position because I wanted to be the granddaughter and not the caregiver.
And they, at least to my dad, I have a very vivid memory of my dad needed help standing up to go to the restroom. And my mom, my husband, and I were all helping him. And he started to cry and said, this is humiliating. And at that moment, it clicked that he doesn't want us to do that. We are happy to do it, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. He doesn't want us to do it. He wanted us just to be the daughter and just to be the son-in-law and just to be the wife. So that's when we got our caregivers in there, because it's like we need help, and he doesn't want it, and he wants to keep that
dignity. Mm-hmm.
And that was a key moment for me that I thought I was doing what was best for him, and really I wasn't. And then I was able to step back and go, take care of my kids, take care of my husband, take care of my mom and support her and let the experts really step mm-hmm. in. And that's really what he wanted. And so sometimes we don't think about that when we're doing it because we're like, we can help, we can do it, we're able to.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that both of us, mm-hmm. when we talk with families a lot, talk about being the daughter, mm-hmm. even though our skill sets allow us to do some things mm-hmm. for our family. Even with Graham, when she was on hospice, you know, I forgot to write a morphine dose down. Mm-hmm. And I realized at that point that even though I do this for a living, this is my last time with her.
Right.
I don't want to spend my time charting meds and doing that care. Giving her a bed bath. Those were not things she was comfortable with me doing.
Yep.
And I wanted to be the granddaughter. I wanted to talk about the family, show mm-hmm. the pictures, talk about old stories. No one else can, anybody can write down the morphine dose.
Right.
Nobody else can be that family member.
Yep.
And I think that stuff that we oftentimes are really preaching on the phone
mm-hmm.
is it's okay to ask for help.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to need that support. And again, we don't have the emotional connection to these
right.
clients, the family does. So it's not when you're in that emotional spot,
mm-hmm.
it drains you more.
It does.
You have all these, you're dealing with all the grief and coming to terms with everything. We come in and we're able to, you know, clock in, clock out, provide this amazing care for this person. And there's not that emotional component.
Right.
Which a lot of times can be really draining for people.
It's very hard. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest thing you'll ever go through.
Yeah.
Really.
And I definitely think, you know, the drum we want to beat more than anything that we've talked about this hour is really reaching out for help,
mm-hmm.
knowing what resources are available in your community.
Be prepared.
Yep. Getting your friends, getting your social circle,
mm-hmm.
talking to people that have been through it.
Yep.
And even if they haven't.
Right.
You know, again, you may be able to help other people prepare.
Right.
I know you said you were kind of the first one in your social circle to go through it.
Yep. And you can help them. Even if you did it wrong, they can learn from your mistakes.
Right. Like, I wish I would have known this. I wish I could have done better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Now you know what I'm doing every Wednesday
morning.
I really am here.
I listen.
Sometimes you get to listen.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you that want to follow us on Facebook, you can follow Generations Talk Radio, and I post usually Tuesday who my Wednesday guest will be, so you can kind of tune in there. And GenerationsTalkRadio.com has all of our archived shows. So if this is a show that you think would benefit one of your family members to listen to, you can always go there and listen. And we are here every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. live right here on KCNR. And remember, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day.
The news is brought to you on KCNR at Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.